we have to choose between lying to other people or lying to yourself. I sat down and I think they could see in my face that I was pretending.
Did she ever like challenge you and say, why are you making up stories?
I'm not gonna lie, guys, I am in chronic pain right now. We finally got to the conversation of, Olivia, how comes you're not able to show up?
So what, did this friend know what was going on?
I guess she didn't know about the condition. I can't trust when she gives me a story as well. I feel so bad for the people that I knew during those years.
Hi, and welcome to the Unfriended podcast, where we have candid conversations about friendship breakups within female friendships. I'm your host, Miss Daisy, and on each episode, I'll be talking to a variety of guests as they share their experiences and stories of friendship breakups. And today I have Olivia with me, who's here to share a deeply personal and often misunderstood condition called endometriosis. And she's going to discuss how this impacted her friendships. So before we talk about Olivia's story, just want to give one announcement. During this season of the podcast, we'll be dedicating a number of episodes to answering your friendship dilemmas. So I'll be joined by co-hosts and we'll be having girly chats while we answer your dilemmas. So if you would like your dilemma to be discussed on the podcast, please email theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. That's theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. I'll also link the email in the description. Olivia, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I guess the first thing I want to ask, just so we're familiar, or for those that are unfamiliar, from your experience, how would you describe what endometriosis is?
Okay, so my experiences of it being a chronic pain condition, to visualize it, I'd say imagine a period, but much bigger. For mine, the tissue that would grow from your period, this is very personal, sorry, it might be TMI. My tissue goes outside of my womb as well, so it also goes into like scar tissue. It's like sticking organs together and all sorts.
Okay, yeah. So when did you start to notice that you might have endometriosis?
I remember the day. It was my first day at university. I'd moved all my stuff into this random little house in Brighton. I'd done the last round of cleaning and then suddenly I was like, oh my goodness, where did this pain come from? So I was standing on the bed, I was wiping the ceiling. I'm so extra with the cleaning. And I had to just immediately fall onto the bed, like I just couldn't move after that. And as I was laying there, I was thinking, okay, maybe this is a period, but it's definitely not one that I've experienced before. So that was the first time I realized that there's a relationship between stress levels and the experience of it. And yeah, that was the first time.
Okay, so you mentioned being in pain, mm-hmm. and feeling this pain. Mm. So how did it progress from there?
From then, it would just show up. So whenever I was in a situation where I was intensely stressed or anxious, then the pain would kick off. Okay. I think sometimes it varies person to person. Some people, it like correlates with your cycle. For me, it's just if I'm stressed, it's going to show up.
Okay, so it's not necessarily every time you have your period, you have this pain. It's just, you just have it.
Yeah, okay, me, it's high cortisol, high pain.
Okay. Boom. Mm. So did the people around you start to notice that Olivia's in pain a bit more often?
You know what? Funny enough, I was working at the GP on campus.
Okay.
And the nurses there were like, by the way, you're not meant to be in this much pain. Okay. So they dragged me along. I was in denial at first. I was like, no, it's fine. I'm just going to keep going through it. They were like, no, go and see a doctor. But for many years, I think for about the first 4 years, I kept being referred to male doctors.
Okay.
And they were like, oh yeah, she's got like, basically they kept misdiagnosing it. And then one random day a few years in, I saw this black lady nurse. Okay. She was like, this is actually quite obviously endometriosis. And I was like, oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. So literally it took a black woman to see that, yeah, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yep. After that, I felt it was nice. It was like a weight lifted off, but then also this is not good news, but it was all right. From then, it's been a series of just asking myself the question of, are you brave enough to seek help?
Okay.
Does it?
So once the female nurse told you that, was there anyone that you told? Any like friends or family?
Oh, no, actually, I'm a huge secret keeper.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's why even talking about it today feels so bizarre. But no more, because the ladies need to have more conversation about gynae.
Honestly, seriously, because yes. I'm here and I'm learning as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you didn't tell anybody, so you kept it a secret. So how did you manage to keep a secret that you're constantly in pain?
You know, when I think about it now, it feels so weird. I don't know. I'm a really good actor, which in this sense is not a good thing. So I would just, I guess isolate myself if it was really, really bad.
Okay.
Take lots of pain meds and then step out when I could. So I would, it would usually just be the case that I'm going out for lectures and seminars into the library, but then social things, it's like, I cannot pretend for that long. Yeah. Then the day came where it was, we were organizing a TED event, TEDx Sussex Uni. It was really, really good. It was really exciting. And it required back-to-back organization for like a series of maybe 10 days or so. We'll do like rehearsals with different groups and then like checking the venue, checking, I don't know, things like equipment and whatever else. And when it finally got to the day, like the morning of the event, and the day before we were, when we were welcoming the guests to the hotel, I brought one of the guests into their room and I sat down and I think they could see in my face that I was pretending, because they're generally activists in that area anyway. So they could see it in my face. And I was like, I'm not going to lie, guys, I am in chronic pain right now. But the show must go on because the event is tomorrow and everyone is waiting for me to like give direction of what's next.
So how did it feel to finally admit it and say, I'm in pain?
Good. Oh my goodness. It felt like a huge weight off my chest, because I feel like I was carrying it around. I wonder if I had a lot of shame around it, because at the beginning there was a lot of confusion in terms of what the diagnosis was.
Okay.
So there was that, but then also the shame of admitting that I'm not okay to people for some reason was so bizarre.
Yeah.
I think because in my younger years I was a gymnast and then an athlete. So I'm so used to always being fine or always being healthy at least.
Mm.
So then to admit, to like break the mirror, break the glass and be like, actually, no, not okay anymore was a big one. But then it just felt like a safe space to have that conversation. But again, after that, I had to just, I think I took about 10 minutes to just sit there in their hotel room, which when I think about it now, is kind of bizarre, and then switch it back off again and get on with things.
So you mentioned isolating yourself. So how did it sort of impact your social life and friendship?
I feel so bad for the people that I knew during those years. But the thing is, when I speak to them now, they're just like, we had no idea that was going on. Because when I'm out and about, I'm just get on with things. But when I'm at home by myself, I'm like chugging down the ibuprofen, chugging down the paracetamol, codeine, cocodamol, dihydrocodone. I had like a full library of pain meds.
Oh wow. So you mentioned that, like, okay, you felt sorry for the people that you were with around that time. So how did that sort of manifest? What sort of change when you were in pain and you're sort of coming to terms with having endometriosis?
I have realized this more over time, and even I even had a conversation about it yesterday. When I'm in pain, I feel like a lot of things about my personality change. Okay. But I guess because they knew me as that person, when you go to uni, you know them from when you show up to when you leave. So they just knew me as that person. I become slightly less patient. Okay. I become slightly less compassionate, slightly less empathetic. Like all of those beautiful parts of a person, they just reduce by 20-30%. But thankfully, I guess on a good day, I have a lot of it. So when you cut it down, if you've just met me then, it's not a huge thing. But then once I started to come back to London and reintroduce myself to people that I knew before, they're like, whoa, who's this Olivia?
Oh, wow.
But to be honest, there were some good things that came from it. I feel like that experience of having to like ration my energy taught me how to have better boundaries. So that was a good thing that came from it.
In terms of, did it have any sort of negative impact on any of your relationships? Because you mentioned that before, you were quite active. I'm guessing like uni life's quite busy. You know, you're kind of with friends, you're partying, you're studying. There's a lot of social things going on. So how did you sort of navigate being a friend, but also having to kind of keep this secret?
I don't even know how to answer that question. I guess I just had to change the things that I found interesting. I started enjoying sitting in silence alone a lot more.
Really?
Yeah, literally just like passive meditation, just sitting there like this. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or just taking part in activities that would require me to do work alone. Like, okay, so I have always loved social enterprise.
Yeah.
So when I was at uni, I was running this society called Enactus, where the whole purpose is to just set up social enterprises around the world. But the role that I took required me to, yes, manage all these groups, but do a lot of admin behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So I would show up for the weekly meetings and direct people and, you know, find out how everyone's doing, but then do all of the work just by myself.
Okay.
So I could be in pain. I could be like heavy breathing and whatever alone, getting it done. As long as it's getting done, no one really notices what's happening.
Okay, cool.
But thank goodness, shout out to University of Sussex. They went above and beyond to make sure that everything else was okay. So like, I had a note taker, I had therapy, and maybe because I worked at the GP practice, I had them checking in on me. I had a taxi when I was living off campus. Like,
oh, wow.
I know
so they were really well looked after.
Yeah, if it wasn't for them, I could not have kept up the charade. Couldn't. No.
So you mentioned this mask coming off. Was there a particular trigger for that?
I can't remember a particular day or a particular event, but I know it would be an experience of me being like, okay, we have to choose between lying to other people or lying to yourself.
Okay.
And having that mask on is me having to pretend to myself. Well, I guess lying twice, lying to myself and then also lying to other people. And eventually it just gets tiring. Okay. So when I think once I started to interact with people that I knew from London again and then go back to Brighton, I was like, this is exhausting.
Yeah.
Gonna have to just tell the true story of what it is.
Okay. So when you started opening up to people and telling them,
mm-hmm.
like, what was the sort of impact of that?
It was not as brave and outspoken as you would imagine. Instead of people being like, oh, do you want to come to this thing? And me and just being like, oh, I'm just busy. You know, I've just got to go do this thing. I would say I'm tired. Or, yeah, something, not actually mentioning what the condition is, just saying, oh, I just don't feel like I can.
Okay.
Yeah. Which for me felt like admitting a lot, because yeah. I'd be admitting a symptom, but I wouldn't actually be admitting the thing.
And what was people's sort of response to just, I'm tired?
It was all right.
Mm.
To be fair, I think the university experience is such a niche one in that sense.
Yeah.
Because you're with them all day, all night. So for example, I'm thinking of one time, it was my friend's birthday. It was a Nollywood themed birthday party.
Yeah.
And it hit, I was there for like 2 hours. And then I was like, I'm tired. Because when I'm in pain, I get tired really quickly. Mm. So I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap on the sofa right now.
Okay.
And I just did.
All right.
The party just kept going on and I just took a nap. Or when we go to the club and I take a nap in the club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That, I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that at all.
So people just think I'm bizarre, which I'm cool with. But yeah.
So you mentioned that uni, people generally quite sympathetic. Thought maybe you were just
strange.
But it didn't really impact your relationships like that, because they were quite accommodating. Was there anyone in your life that wasn't really, didn't really see it as haha, Olivia's being strange, but really like, hey, you're not showing up. You're not fully being present at events and things like that.
Yeah, because I guess I could tell a tale to people that I see every now and again, but there was one friend that we would be together all the time, so they would even see me be dishonest. And to be honest with you, that does look shady. If they can see that, like, if someone's trying to make a plan with me, I'm making up a story as to why I can't be there, then really it would make sense for them to be like, oh, I can't trust when she gives me a story as well.
So what, did this friend know what was going on?
I guess she didn't know about the condition, but so she
didn't know about the condition. No. So the dishonest, how did she?
Like, she would see someone call me and be like, oh, Olivia, do you want to go to a party? And I'd be like, oh yeah, no, I've got to go do some work. And she'd be like, you ain't got no work to do. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I just need to stay at home.
Did she ever like challenge you and say, why are you making up stories?
No, I think she just thought I was bizarre.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I think she, this is one thing about, I don't know what it is about it, but there's something about that practice that people associate with coolness. Okay. I don't know what it is. So my cousin said this the other day in a slightly different context, the Regina George effect.
Mm-hmm.
So you presenting one way, like presenting as, I don't know, really, really cool. But then in reality, you're presenting that way because you're hiding something else.
Okay.
So I think that she thought it was like, oh, I just think I'm too cool to go to these things. And that's why I'm making up these excuses. But really, it's like, no, I'm making up these excuses because I'm in too much pain to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your close friend is sort of seeing you make up stories to get out of things. Does she have her moment as well?
This is so many years ago now, so I'm kind of wishy-washy on it, but I remember there was a day where we finally got to the conversation of, Olivia, how comes you're not able to show up in certain ways or at certain times to certain events?
Particularly for her or for anyone?
Particularly for her. I think it was after I'd left uni at that point, and that was when I realized, okay, this is your unmasking in this friendship. Do you choose to be honest, or do you choose to continue going on with the fallacy? And so I was like, by the way, I have this chronic pain condition. That was why, like, at times I'd disappear, or why I'd spend so much time hanging around hospitals and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, the conversation just did not go the way that you would hope. I guess the strange thing about certain conditions is, or probably quite general in life, someone's ability to be compassionate or empathetic towards something is capped by their ability to understand it.
Okay.
So where a lot of the time, even now when I'm describing it to people, a lot of people are just like, oh, so like a period. And I'm like, no, not really, no. But kind of.
But I'm thinking the word, I have a chronic pain condition, would sort of, but no.
It hits if you understand what a chronic pain condition is.
Okay.
So for some people, when you say chronic pain, people go to, okay, what is the most extreme pain that I've had? So a lot of the times when I say chronic pain to people, they'll be like, oh yeah, I broke my leg once. And I'm like,
it's worse than that.
Wow. Because it's not exactly that, because a lot of people compare it to things where they've had one incident and then they've had that one knock of pain for like maybe a couple of days or a couple of weeks and then it's gone. But chronic pain is ongoing, and then you just learn to tolerate the fact that you're in pain.
It's a
tough one. So yeah, the conversation didn't go well, but I guess it's limited by your capacity to understand what is going on.
So you have this conversation with your friend. It doesn't go well. What is it that doesn't go well? Is it she's just not convinced, or just the way you explained it didn't make the situation any better?
You know when you tell someone news and it goes over their head?
Okay.
But I think it went over their head because of the lack of understanding of what the thing is. But then on the other hand, also, I probably didn't explain it well because at that point it was still like undiagnosed.
Yeah.
So the only language that I had to communicate what was going on was like bits of information that I had gathered from that one nurse and then from like one GP appointment.
Yeah.
So I was still in the early days of understanding what it was and how it was impacting me. So all I could describe was like how it feels on a day to day.
Yeah.
Which is, again, still feels very, very wishy-washy.
What happens to the friendship after that? Like, mask is gone, you've told her. What happens after that with the friendship?
After that, it just fizzled out. I think for me, it was like a realization of the lack of empathy. Or lack of consideration towards what the overall experience is. Because on the other side, I guess the other person would see it as, okay, this person just isn't able to be a friend in the way that I would want them to be. And it sounds like they're just giving me a reason as to why that would continue to be the case. And for me, it's like, well, I mean, I understand why you feel that way. It does sound kind of boring, fair enough. But I can't change how it is. It just is a condition, and it is one that I have.
Is that one of the reasons you didn't want to talk about it? Because you've opened up to like a best friend. And if they're not getting it, how can you expect the world to get it?
Yeah. Now it's easy for me to introduce myself to people in that way, to just be like, hi, I'm Olivia and I have blah, 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 blah. So sometimes I'm going to show up and sometimes I'm going to have to stay at home. And I'm so sorry about that. But it's harder to know someone over a longer period of time and then suddenly change the way that they have to perceive you. It's to be like, oh, yeah, I know that you've known me as this person. But actually, the truth is, this is what's going on. And so I'm going to have to change my behavior. And you're going to have to just rock with that.
So how did it feel losing this best friend? And the reason is because when you finally opened up to them, when you finally had that conversation, it just wasn't understood. And it just fizzled out because of the endometriosis.
To be honest, it was a good learning opportunity for me. I feel like before that point, I kept telling myself, oh, I can just, you know, just go through life, just be who I am. And when it's relevant, then I'll just drop information. And when it's not, then I'll withhold it. After that point, I realized, okay, if I hope to actually have genuine relationships with people, I have to introduce myself as, I am Olivia. I have this condition. I will be able to show up in these ways and not in others.
Yeah.
And then it gives people the opportunity to make that choice. Because although it felt offensive in the moment to be like, okay, this friendship isn't going to work because of my condition, really, I haven't given her the information necessary for her to make a choice of whether or not that's something that she can deal with. It was offensive, but more like in an introspective way.
And did you feel responsible for the friendship breaking down because of that?
Yes and no. I want to say it's a 50-50. Half lack of transparency on my side. If I had shared all the information, maybe she would have been able to make better choices. Like before that, or even in that conversation. But then there's the thing to consider of, at that point, I don't think I had that understanding or the language to even communicate it. So I think at that point I was doing the best I could. But ideally, I would have had things like this lovely book to just let me know what's going on. And then I could communicate it to her. But then on the other hand, to be fair, I think it would have been better for her to have more compassion or more empathy towards it. But then on that side, it's capped by your understanding of XYZ condition. Your understanding of XYZ condition is capped by how well you understand what chronic pain is.
It's a tough one. And I think that's the reason why I wanted to do this podcast and wanted to speak about friendship breakups. It's very nuanced. So while you're saying, hey, actually, I get where she's coming from. Like, if I'm not telling her anything, she's going by the very limited information. But on the other hand, even I can't explain it to myself. So how can I explain it to somebody else? So it just reminds me that sometimes friendships don't work out because of just life circumstances. And there's many things that go into it. And it's not necessarily like you were bad, she was bad, she wasn't a good friend. Even what you said about you're now in a place where you let people know what's going on. So they have the choice to say, hey, like, actually, I'm okay with having a friend that doesn't shop. For some people, that is essential. And they may decide, you know what? Love you, Olivia. Lovely girl. But I don't think we can have this deep friendship.
And that's fair enough.
Yeah.
That is fair enough. I had to learn to become comfortable with that. But again, that is through that journey, through the journey of me having that condition and learning to have that language and everything, I had to learn to have better boundaries for myself.
Yeah.
And the only way that I can have that for myself is if I understand other people have that too. And then making that choice of, okay, actually, I need you to physically be here.
Mm.
And me saying, well, I can't do that. It's that negotiation of that boundary. So it's good.
So now that you're officially diagnosed.
Boom, boom.
And you know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
How's your friendships now?
Oh, they're so good. Okay. As long as I am brave enough to just be like, by the way, I have this and blah, blah, blah is going to happen.
Mm.
It's great. Because then you can prune out.
Yeah.
Bad ones from the beginning. So now I have a great community of people that are just understanding. There are periods where I'll just disappear for a while and then come back. Literally, I was speaking to a friend yesterday that I hadn't spoken to for a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she was like, it's cool. It's fine. I understand.
So now it's like I won't say you're on a mission, but you seek out people that will embrace you for who you are and what that comes with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess my next question is your ex-friend.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever reach out to her to be like, by the way, this is what it is all that time?
No.
Okay.
No, I just took it as a little learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, things come and go. And part of the cycle of life is living and death, and that friendship just needs to just experience its own death. That's okay.
No, it's true. Like sometimes it's like, look, there's no animosity, but we don't need to resurrect this. Yeah. And what thoughts would you share with somebody that is currently going through what you went through? So they've got a chronic pain condition or any sort of health condition and it's affecting their friendships, it's affecting their social life, but they're also trying to come to terms with it, but they're not able to sort of
communicate
it.
I'm not going to lie, it's going to be a tricky time. It's going to be a really tricky time. So like, for example, this book I got near the beginning. We're a couple of years in and I am still only 10 pages into the book. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's hard to take that time to learn more about yourself and what the condition is and what you're going through, just because as you're reading about it or as you're going to talks or as you're speaking to different doctors, you're having to relive the trauma of the experience.
Mm.
But that's the only way to get through it. It's the only way to learn how to take care of yourself better.
Mm.
And the better that you take care of yourself, like the more confident that you're going to feel in yourself.
Yeah.
And then as you go through that, then the better you'll learn how to create boundaries for yourself, the better that you'll learn how to tell the story of yourself to other people. So then you'll be able to build that community around you of people that are going to be supportive. And then on the other end of that, I promise it's all sunshine. It's all sunshine. Like obviously you'll still have to deal with what your condition is, but you'll know how to keep yourself safe. And then you'll have a community of people who are also committed to keeping you safe too. So yeah, I promise it's sunshine on the other side, but it's a tough push through. But one thing to keep in mind also, I didn't realize this at the time. So I discovered this book through Endometriosis UK, which is just a charity. And through those charities, they end up having a lot of support groups.
Oh, wow.
So okay. a lot of different conditions have different support groups out there. So definitely contact them. Definitely try and push yourself to go to those online groups or in-person groups and tell the story of who you are. And you'll listen to other people say very similar things. You'll be things that you thought that you were the only person going through. You'll be like, oh, there are 15 other people also doing it. And then you can get advice from them.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like there's something about seeing others relay what they're going through and realizing I'm not alone. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I will definitely, you know, the book and some of those resources that you've mentioned, I'll definitely link that in the description, in the show notes as well. But honestly, Olivia, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you
so much for sharing your story. I know there's many people out there that are struggling with health issues and also balancing their relationships, and I hope that this shows them that they're not alone and there are ways to have healthy relationships that don't compromise who you are and people that will accept you with what you come with as well and what your reality is. So thank you so much. And I guess my last question is, if anyone wants to get in touch, what's the best way for them to find you?
Okay, so this is a bit random. There was an olive garden that I came across in Croatia called Olive Gardens of Lynn. My name's Olivia, which means piece of the olive tree. So I thought that's a perfect merger. All of my usernames are Olive Garden of Lynn. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
I love that. You went and you're like, that's going to be my Instagram handle.
It's a bit of me.
Oh, thank you so much, Olivia,
for coming
to Unfriended Podcast. Thank you. Thank you all for tuning into this episode. I hope you found Olivia's story informative and valuable. And if you did enjoy listening to this podcast, please show us some love by liking, commenting, and subscribing to the YouTube channel. Also, if you do have a dilemma that you would like featured on the podcast, please don't forget to email the unfriended.pod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to stay connected or for more friendship breakup content, you can find me on social media on Instagram with @love_MissDaisy or @theunfriended.pod. Thank you once again, sending lots of love your way, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.